I'd like to ask everybody to pray with me as we prepare our hearts for God's word this morning. Father, we just come before you with humble hearts, Lord, with grateful hearts, thankful, Lord, for your blessing upon our lives, upon our homes, our families, and upon this church. And Father, we just look to you and ask that you would speak to us today, that by your Spirit that you would do a work in our hearts and lives, and Lord, that you might be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one father who had a three-year-old little girl, she kept waking up in the middle of the night afraid. And so two or three times in the night, she would come in and wake him up, and he would have to go and tuck her back into bed, and he would encourage her each time, the Lord is with you, you don't have to be afraid. But again and again, she would come and wake him up. It happened several nights in a row. And so finally, as he retucked her into bed again, he said, now, did you pray and ask the Lord to take away your fears? And she said, yes, I did. And he told me to come and get you. Well, you know, being a dad is a great thing. It's a lot of joy, a lot of responsibility. But sometimes you get to be the answer to your child's prayer. And that's an awesome thing. In fact, not even just with little ones, but sometimes as they get older, you still get to be the answer to your child's prayer. You know, the Bible tells us that fathers are to be honored. It's one of the big ten, one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. It's kind of strange. It's one of the commandments that is probably the most well known and probably the least followed, the least obeyed, second only to keep the Sabbath day and being ignored. Oh, everybody knows that you're supposed to honor father and mother, and I want to just encourage our young people here this morning. You honor your father and mother because it is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. And by the way, moms and dads, if you want it to go well for your children, teach them to honor you. Now, I want to say very plainly that it's not always easy to honor a father and a mother because none are perfect. There's only one perfect Father, our Heavenly Father. The rest of us all make mistakes and all have faults and flaws. But I want to encourage you fathers that are here today that you can be an honorable father. A few weeks ago, I had a brief conversation with someone who had the title The Honorable in front of their name, The Honorable. And it was kind of strange to me, and well, I guess disturbing in a way, that as I had this brief conversation with this individual, The Honorable, I found them to not be honorable at all, if you know what I mean. And so I want to say to you dads this morning, none of us is perfect, but certainly we should be honorable. In this world, there are lots of fathers who are not. Lots of fathers who don't deserve honor. And I want to say very plainly, even fathers that maybe don't deserve it because of the life that they live, they still should be honored by their children because the Bible says to honor them. But a Christian father who truly serves the Lord is worthy of honor, deserving of honor. And I want to talk to you today about the qualities that make a father honorable. Is it how much money he makes, or how successful he is in business? Well, we all know it's not. It can't be that. There are countless fathers who have acquired great wealth and yet are horrible fathers, and they've lost the respect of their children in the process. You know, Jesus said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? And I think that the analogy fits rather well when you're talking about fathers, because what good does it do for a man to make a whole lot of money but lose his kids? What does it take to be an honorable father? Well, is it been really, really smart and maybe very educated? You know, those are admirable qualities. But I can assure you there are lots of educated people, maybe with a high IQ, that are totally clueless when it comes to being an honorable father. And just because someone is intelligent in some ways doesn't mean that they're any good at all at being a dad. Well, maybe it's physical ability or athleticism. I mean, what dad hasn't had that opportunity at some point to be the strong one in the family, to show his children his great jar opening capabilities, right? I mean, that's one of your jobs as a dad. Besides killing things, it's opening jars, right? But no, the famous athletes of our day, in large part, have certainly proven that just because you have strength or athletic ability certainly doesn't make you a good dad. In fact, most of them are terrible dads. There's a few exceptions, thank God. I'm so glad for the few that are good fathers and set a good example, but the vast majority of them do not. What is it that makes an honorable dad? Well, maybe it's our talents, our abilities. I mean, all of us are good at something. Some dads can fix anything. Some can build things. Some are musical. Some are good at sports. Some are good with computers. Some can make you laugh. Some can even belt the entire alphabet. How many of you? Well, never mind. I guess we shouldn't go there. But however impressive your ability might be, it may be looked at with awe, but I can tell you can always find dads who have that ability and yet they're not honorable. So I want to give you three qualities this morning that will make you an honorable dad. And I want to encourage you with this, that there's not any dad who can't have these three qualities. It doesn't require a certain amount of intelligence or ability or strength. It just requires a heart that is willing. Three qualities I want to talk to you about this morning. The first is that you have to be a man of integrity. Proverbs 20:7 says, the righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Brings a blessing on your kids when you are a man of integrity. One dictionary defines integrity as an adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, honesty. Now, you know, we live in a time when moral principles can be based on anything or nothing at all. It's just, you know, morality and ethics are always shifting and moving. So I want to say to you, I believe it's important that we as Christian fathers have biblical integrity. And let me tell you how that works and what that looks like. Biblical integrity is when what the Bible says and what you believe and what you live are all the same thing. That's biblical integrity. Now, if you don't believe what the Bible says, you can't have biblical integrity. And if you believe what the Bible says, but you don't do what the Bible says, that's not integrity either. No, it's when we believe what the Bible says and we live by the Bible. That is biblical integrity. And that's what it takes to be honorable. Because as I said, in this world, people are always changing the standard, always changing what's right and wrong. We have to go by God's word. That being said, I want to tell you, a person of integrity is always honest. They tell the truth. They don't have hidden agendas. They don't have ulterior motives. A person of integrity will keep their word. They will keep their commitments. You know, in our day now, legal contracts are just broken all of the time. And it seems that even so-called good people do that. It's just kind of the way business is done. But a man of biblical integrity will keep his word even when there is no contract. It's not always easy to do. I remember a few years ago when we were selling a house, the Lord really blessed the sale of that house. We showed it to three people and they all three wanted it. But the first one, no, I believe it was the second one. The second one, we shook hands and we agreed on a price. He didn't have any financing yet. We didn't have a contract or anything like that. We just shook hands on an agreed price. And the next day, a young couple came and looked at the house and the young man said, "Well, we want to buy it." And I said, "Well, if this other gentleman doesn't buy it, if that doesn't go through, then I would be glad to sell it to y'all." And he said, "No, but we'll buy it today." I said, "Well, I can't do that." He said, "But I'll pay you more." Now, there's a little temptation there. I mean, when you're talking about more money, well, we don't have a contract. I'm free, right? No, because I gave my word. And I don't know how that all pans out, but I know this, that God blesses integrity. And a man of integrity will keep his word always. Do what you say. People of integrity don't go out with their coworkers or their friends and treat them nice and then go home and talk ugly to their wife and their children. That's not integrity. When you live with integrity, you do what's right. No matter who's watching or if nobody's watching. Well, so often little eyes are watching and teenagers don't miss anything. You can count on it. You know, your teenagers may not like your principles. They may not like your ethics, but if you keep them, they will respect you. And if you don't, they won't. You can't be honorable without integrity. It's something that we have the opportunity to prove or to be tested in frequently. You go to the bank and they give you too much money back. And so as you're leaving, you have the choice to either go back and make it right or to just say, "Thank you, Jesus." Now, I hope you don't do that. Believe it or not, that's not the way God wants to bless you. You call in sick to work when you're not sick. That's not integrity. And the phone rings, and someone you don't want to talk to, and you tell your child, "Just say I'm not here." That's not integrity. Now, if we're going to be honorable fathers, then we have to live with real integrity, where we keep our word, where we do what we say, we keep our commitments, We give our company, our employer, a full day's work. We don't stretch the truth to make the deal. We don't deceive, but we're honest before God and before men. One guy left his job one day. He told his boss, he said, I've got to go to my grandmother's funeral. The next day when he got to work, his boss said, well, do you believe in life after death? He said, well, yes, of course I do. He said, well, that's good because your grandmother came by yesterday. That's not integrity. I'm just telling you that all of us, we have those opportunities to tell what the world calls a little white lie. But we have to be men of integrity. We have to keep our word. We can't play those games. Dad takes the kids to the movie theater, and it's cheaper if you're younger. Tell them you're five. That's not integrity. It's not honorable. And I'm just telling you, you know, there's a lot of examples we can look at today in our world of men, of fathers who have no integrity and they have no honor. And it is in part why the world has such a dim view of fathers. But I believe we, as Christian men, can have integrity that changes that view. That at least there's something different about the men of God and those who serve the Lord. That we are not just a reflection of our culture, but rather we are a reflection of our Heavenly Father. We may be imperfect, but we're honorable because we're men of integrity. The next thing, if we're going to be honorable, we have to be loving. Our Heavenly Father is such a great example of being loving. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His love is unconditional. And I want you to know, our children need to know that we love them no matter what happens. That there will never be a day when we don't love them. Our Heavenly Father, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And certainly our children need to know that we will always love them. My earthly dad is such a good example of that because it doesn't matter what mistakes I've made, what choices I've made, what kind of trouble I might have been in, I always knew that my dad loved me. He didn't always agree with what I did. He didn't always approve, but I knew, never had a shadow of a doubt, that he loved me. And I'm just telling you that when it's all said and done, if a dad loves his kids and the kids really know it, that's an honorable dad. What's it take for your children to know that you love them? Well, you got to be willing to lay down your life. It takes an unselfish love. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. And I want you to know that if our kids are to know that we love them, we have to be unselfish. We can't be that dad that sits in the recliner for 6 hours of TV, of football, because I need my time. No, instead, we put our kids first, that we want to spend time with our kids, that we show them that we love them by the time we spend with them. Let me tell you how a child spells love. T-I-M-E. It takes time. If your kids are going to know that you really love them, it takes time. Now, some fathers think that it's spelled M-O-N-E-Y. And sometimes teenagers think that it's spelled that way. But that's because they learned it. But no, really and truly, it doesn't take any money. You can give your kids all the possessions in the world, and yet they can feel unloved. But when you spend time with them, it shows that you truly care. I don't know if you've ever heard of Brooke Adams. He was a historian, and his father was an ambassador to Great Britain when Abraham Lincoln was president. This historian, Brooks, he recalled, "The best day of my life was when I was growing up. My dad took me fishing, and I remember that we talked and spent time together." Here his dad was this busy ambassador, but he took time to go fishing with him. Now, Brooks would recall this story time and time again, what a wonderful experience it was that he had with his dad. Years later, a historian was going through the ambassador's papers, and he found a diary in which that day was mentioned, and the father had written, "Went fishing today with my son. The day was wasted." And here's what I want to say to you dads about that. You don't realize how precious, how important the time you spend with your kids is. It may seem like no big deal. It may just seem like a wasted day to you, but it communicates loving father, and it takes time to do that. But let your children know that you love them, that you will always be there for them. Make sure they know. And I want to tell you, you can't have the Frank Barone mentality. Frank Barone, the TV character, the dad on Everybody Loves Raymond, who when he is confronted with the fact that he never expresses his love, this is his reply. "I worked hard and I brought home the bacon. That should be enough." Well, it's not. And I just want to say that because, you know what? That's the attitude of a lot of dads. It's not enough. You need to tell your kids that you love them. You need to make sure that they absolutely know that you love them. There was a survey done in one school where they surveyed the top 10 students and they surveyed the worst 10 students. And one of the questions they asked these students was, "When was the last time that your parents told you they loved you?" The worst 10 students said that either they couldn't remember their parents ever telling them they loved them, or it had been years. The top 10 students all said that it was either today, yesterday, or this week. Wow. Now, I'm sure there were a lot of other factors involved there, but your kids need to know that you love them. Do not assume that they know. Do not think that they know just because you bring home the bacon and give them a place to sleep that's warm and you feed them. Listen, you need to tell your children that you love them, and you need to show them. You need to be affectionate with your children. Sometimes as dads, we can just be kind of rough and gruff and we think all that's not necessary, but it is. You need to let them know how much you love them. And last but not least, if we're to be honorable fathers, we need to be spiritual. The Bible gives us this charge in Ephesians 6 and 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." That's training and instruction of the Lord. And notice, this charge is given to fathers. And that's not to say that mothers don't have a part in raising up children in the training of the Lord. They certainly do. But I think that he singles out fathers here because, men, this is a responsibility that falls to us. And this is a responsibility that so often men in our generation have abdicated and just let mom do it. No, to be an honorable father, I'm just going to say it this way. To be an honorable father, we can't be the hypocrite. We can't play church. And we can't just half-heartedly serve the Lord. Because I want to tell you that our kids see it. And I think it is one of the primary reasons that 70% of young people, when they get out of the house, when they turn 18 or whenever that is, they leave the house, 70% of them stop going to church. Now, I know there's some other factors there that, you know, they go off and there's other influences and other things happen. But I think one of the biggest things is that they learned from their dads that church is not really important. After the first service, somebody was telling me, I have a friend at work. Their husband always was a hypocrite. The kids even called him a hypocrite. And now he doesn't understand why they don't want to go to church with him on Father's Day. I'm just telling you that if you're going to be an honorable dad, you got to be a spiritual dad. You can't play games. How can you teach your children the fear and admonition of the Lord when you yourself are not really serving God with a whole heart? Joshua 24:15, rather famous words. It's been put on all kinds of plaques and signs. It's, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it is quite the bold and wonderful declaration to make over your family. But I want to point out to you how it starts. Joshua said, as for me, as for me, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. And fathers, you need to lead your family. You need to lead your children by saying, we're going to serve the Lord, but you also have to say before them, I'm going to serve the Lord. Make up your mind to truly serve the Lord with your whole heart. Put God first in your life. Fear the Lord. Psalms 128, 1 through 4 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. You see, when you're a spiritual father, you bring the blessing of God on your home. You are an honorable father. But you live your life before the Lord in integrity, in the fear of the Lord. You know, when I think of the fear of the Lord, I think of always having the awareness that you're living your life before the eyes of God. And you're also living your life before the eyes of your loved ones. You got to be a spiritual man. Let them see you pray. Oh, but Jesus said to go in the prayer closet. Listen, Jesus was talking about not just praying for show, but you need to set the example for your kids. They need to see you pray. They need to see you reading your Bible. They need to see that you're serving God, that you're involved in the work of the Lord, that God is really first in your life. They need to see you worshiping God. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Now, I know that that is in part talking about money, but I believe it has to be talking about more than just money, because you can leave an inheritance to your children, and if you didn't leave a spiritual inheritance, there won't be anything left for your children's children. It'll all be gone. No, but when you leave a spiritual inheritance, it's something that will last through the generations. You see it in the patriarchs of the Bible, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. There was a spiritual inheritance that was passed down from generation to generation. Now, those men also all happened to be rich. But there was something much more valuable, something much more precious that they had. It was a spiritual inheritance that was passed down from generation to generation. As an honorable father, what are you going to pass down to your children? What will last? What is something you're going to pass down? It's a relationship with God. It's serving the Lord with a whole heart. Not playing church, but being the real deal. That's what we want to pass down to our kids. And as spiritual leaders, that's what we do. One of the ways that we can be a spiritual leader to our children is in what we say. Words have so much power. You ever heard that old phrase, you might have to eat your words? Well, I think it comes from Proverbs 18:21. There's death and life in the power of the tongue, and those who live it or love it will eat its fruit. A lot of the time, we end up eating the very words that we say, but I think that's especially true in regard to our children. When you say negative things and speak negative things over your children of those words, you're probably going to eat those words later. You're going to eat the fruit of those words. But one of the ways that we can be a spiritual leader to our children is to speak good things over them, to speak blessings on their life. You see, in this negative world, there's plenty of negative voices coming at them all the time. As a spiritual father, you can be the one that speaks over them words of faith, words from the scripture that you can bless them. You know, it's interesting when you look at the patriarchs, they all understood this principle and practiced this principle. They blessed their children. You read in the scripture in James chapter 3 how that our tongue is like the rudder of a ship, that your tongue can turn the direction, the course of your life. Listen to me. I have realized as a pastor that because I hold a position of authority, I have to be very careful about what I say. And I've made lots of mistakes. I've learned a lot the hard way, because sometimes I say things and I don't realize how much power it has, for good or for harm. It cuts both ways. Listen to me. You fathers, in your home, in the eyes of your children, your words have such power that it can turn the course of their life for good or bad. So use your words as a spiritual leader in your home to direct your children's life in the right way. Say something good to them. Say something to bless them. Say something that will help them, encourage them through their day or through whatever it is in life that they're going through. But speak blessings over your children. Remember this, Jesus took the little children up in his arms and he blessed them. I really believe that fathers can bless their own children. Now, to bless in that regard means to speak favor over them. And when you bless your children, you're saying good things to them, speaking favor on them, speaking well of them, not criticizing or putting them down, but blessing them. In fact, I think it's really interesting in Luke chapter 24, you realize that the very last thing that Jesus did in a physical body before he left this earth, the very last thing that he did, it wasn't the Great Commission. No, it's when he ascended. This is what it says. It says, when he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven, and they worshiped him. Isn't that amazing? The very last thing that Jesus did on this earth was he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. You need to be blessing your children. I mean, what if the very last thing that you ever did is they remembered that you blessed them? I read this, or quote this, speak this over our church so often. Numbers 6:22-27 says, And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way that you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel. Listen, and I will bless them. You see, you as the priest of your home, as a spiritual father in your home, you speak words of blessing over your children, and God will back it up. He said, and I will bless them. Speak blessings over your children. That's what spiritual fathers do. How can you be an honorable father? You got to have integrity. You got to be loving, and you got to be spiritual. And the wonderful thing about these three qualities is every one of us can do it. None of us is perfect. All of us have failed and made mistakes. And how our kids know it. The wonderful thing about being a Christian father is that there is forgiveness and grace, not only from the Lord, but I personally have had to ask my children for forgiveness many times. Many times I've made mistakes, and I'm sure they've chosen to forgive me many times when I didn't even ask. But here's what I want to say to you, is no matter how much you may have failed in the past or what mistakes, no matter how much water is under the bridge, realize it is not too late for God to do a work in your life and in your kids' life. And I encourage you to be that honorable father. If need be, go to your children and say, hey, I'm going to do better. But be that honorable father. Don't allow the enemy to mess things up in your life or in your family, but instead trust God that he will raise you up as an honorable father, that your kids will know that they have received a spiritual inheritance. And listen, in the eyes of this world, they will see that there's a difference between those who serve the Lord and those who don't. They'll see that there's something special about a Christian father, that they're truly honorable. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I just thank you for your love, your goodness, your grace to us each and every day, but this day, Lord, especially, as you are the perfect Father. And we honor you here this morning with our praise, with our worship, Lord, but also we honor you with our hearts. Oh, Father, if we want to live for you and serve you and glorify you. Father, I pray that today you would just do a work in us. Lord, make us who we need to be. Courage will rise in the hearts of every father that's here this morning to be the man that you've called him to be. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to give you an opportunity to come for prayer. I realize there's some of you here this morning that you've never really put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I want you to know that your Heavenly Father loves you. You may not have had a great example in an earthly father, but I'm telling you, your Heavenly Father, he's perfect in all his ways, and he loves you. Some of you here this morning, there's hurts. There's things that have happened in the past, maybe because of an earthly father. You need to let your Heavenly Father heal that. Draw close to him and he'll draw close to you. Some of you here this morning, fathers who realize, man, I've missed it. I hadn't done this right. But you want to make a change and you want to serve the Lord with the whole heart. Don't let pride keep you from coming for prayer this morning. Oh, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for your family to know that you want to be an honorable father. But whatever prayer request or prayer need you may have come to our service with today, I just encourage you to come for prayer as we pray, as we worship. Let God do a work in your heart. Amen. Go ahead. Just go ahead and step out and come if you need prayer.